Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of the Bible I'd like to share with you is found in the Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. It's the story of Jesus in the storm, a version of that we heard read before. I probably should tell you right up front, I love thunderstorms. I really do. When that storm is coming and the wind is bending the trees, I love the sound of the wind. I have to go watch it. When the streaks of lightning flash in the night sky, I think it's a beautiful thing. And when the thunder follows it, it just thrills my heart. So I have to watch them. It's like God's putting on a show for me to see, and I can't wait to see it. But the reason I tell you that is because I wasn't born loving thunderstorms. I don't think any child really is. I was taught to love them by my mother, intentionally. You see, when I was little, 4, 5, 6, 7, that age, my mother and her family would leave Milwaukee, where we lived, and we'd go south to a lake about an hour south of Milwaukee. My grandfather had some land there. He had some cottages, summer cottages on the land, and we would stay in those cottages all summer. We'd swim, we'd fish. It was a wonderful time. My brother, my sister, and me, and my mom. My dad would stay in town and work, and then on weekends he'd come out to be with us. So we were there alone a lot, staying in this big cottage on the top of a hill overlooking a lake, a two-story cottage, no indoor plumbing, no electricity. It was wonderful, okay? However, during the night, many times there were storms, severe storms, like you sometimes see in Wisconsin, and the house would shake. And I remember, even at that young age, my mother would get us up, my brother, my sister, and me, and we'd go down to the living room of this big cottage, and we'd look out the picture window, and we'd watch the storm together in the night. And my mother, when the wind would blow, she'd say, "Oh, listen to the wind. Isn't that sound wonderful?" And then the lightning would flash through the sky and light up everything. And my mother would say, "Wasn't that beautiful?" And we'd all say, "Yes, Mom." And then the thunder would come. We'd count 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. And the thunder would shake the house. And the more it would shake it, the more she'd be thrilled, she said. So we were all thrilled. Ever since that time, I get up to watch the storms in the night whenever I can. And I'm disappointed when they aren't as severe as they're supposed to be, because I really like the big ones. But the reason that I share that with you is because when I got ready for the sermon today and spent time with this portion of the Bible, I couldn't help but be reminded of what my mother did for me. She intentionally trained me not to be afraid in thunderstorms. And it strikes me that may well be the reason Jesus included this story in the Bible. You know, we don't have everything Jesus ever did here on this earth for the 3 years he walked the earth. We have certain stories that he placed for our learning. And it strikes me that this story, the story of Jesus facing that storm, may well be placed for exactly that purpose, to teach us as we face the storms in life, those frightening moments that come to every one of us, that the thing we don't need to do in the face of those storms is to be afraid. The place we'll learn that truth is in the Word. The Word works to quiet life's storms, or especially when it's raining. Now, you know the story. It's very familiar to all of us. Jesus and his disciples faced a storm on the lake. Prior to that, Jesus had been teaching and preaching and healing the sick on west side of the Sea of Galilee. And then he decided that they would cross the lake in the night, which they did. They got into their boats, the disciples and Jesus, and off they went across the sea. And so far, so good. But as is the case so often happens, the unexpected occurred. And the Bible tells us, without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat that Jesus was sleeping. Now, the disciples were experienced on that lake. They no doubt wouldn't have ever started off if there had been a storm coming. So this was sudden and unexpected. And in those simple words, we learn a number of storm truths that we'll have to keep in mind if we're going to learn the lesson that Jesus teaches us. First storm truth, there's going to be storms in our life. You might think opposite, but Jesus never promised there wouldn't be hard times that come our way. There will be storms. There'll be small storms. There'll be big storms. There'll be times when we're very much afraid because the storm is very threatening. That's a fact of life. But notice that when that storm comes, Jesus is in the boat. He's right there. He's with us, with the disciples at all times. That's another fact of the storms that we face. We never face them alone. And yet it doesn't seem that way, does it? Because as we see in this particular example, sometimes when the storm comes, it's going to feel like Jesus is sleeping. In this case, he actually was. But in our case, it feels like that must be the case. We tend to think that if Jesus is with us and he has all this power, then if he wants, he can stop the storm from coming. Makes sense to our mind. So if Jesus allows a hard moment to come in our life, a terrible time of sickness or loss or frustration, well, that must mean he's not there, or he's angry, or something's wrong in our relationship. So we think. Remember Mary and Martha when they lost their brother Lazarus? They sent for Jesus when he was sick. They said, "Lord, come, the one you love is sick." But the Bible tells us Jesus delayed 2 days, and Lazarus died in that time. When Jesus got there, Martha went running to him, met him outside the city, and her first words, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Remember that? She's saying, "Lord, if you'd have been here, there'd have been no storm." That's just not how it is. Jesus is with us. If hard times come, if you're facing such moments right now, difficult times in your life, then understand it's not because Jesus has forgotten you. It's not because you're alone. He's here. He's right by your side with all of his love and all of his power. Things aren't what you think they are, even though your eyes might be telling you different. The disciples set an example for us in the storm that we're pretty familiar with. Storm came up. They were fishermen. They were used to the lake. They can handle it. Let the Lord sleep in the boat. We got this. So they set their sails. They rowed their oars. Whatever they did, they were going to make it through, they thought. Only the storm got worse. Really bad. The Bible says the waves were crashing over the boat. Now, I've been in a lot of boats fishing, but I'm telling you, when the waves start crashing over the boat, it's a time you should have left a while ago. That boat's filling with water. Things are very dangerous. So they went running to the Lord finally and woke him up and said, "Lord, we're perishing here," right? And then Jesus asked one of my favorite questions in the Bible. When he wakes up, he says, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" The reason I like this question so much is because it's one we think we all know the answer to. So often when you read your Bible, it's hard to understand what God is saying. Here, we get it. We know this one. Jesus asked, "Why are you so afraid?" The disciples had an answer, right? The waves were crashing over the boat. "Look, there's one. Why are you so afraid? Look, there's another." They could count them for the Lord and explain to him, "Lord, if you're paying attention, you're going to be afraid here." And it makes sense to our mind, right? All of us think that way. Because basically, we're all wave counters. Every single one of us. I personally am very good at counting waves. Very good. When the storms come into my life, I can count every wave that threatens me. And I can see the ones that are coming, and in my mind, I'm certain there are bigger ones yet to come that are going to make it much worse than it is. I just know it. I count all the waves, even the ones that aren't there. Maybe you can relate to that, huh? That's where our fear comes from. We focus on the storm. We focus on the danger. We focus on the loss, and our hearts fill with fear, and our hearts fill with worry, and we're just certain the worst is going to happen. It's just around the corner. That's how it feels in the dangerous storms. Chances are some of you here today may be feeling some of those same emotions. Maybe things in your life aren't as peaceful and calm as you'd like them to be. Maybe you're facing some terrible hard time in your life, health challenge, a job challenge, a family challenge. Or maybe it's not in your life directly. Maybe worse, it's in the life of somebody you love. It gets so bad as we count the waves every day that we go to bed at night and our heart is full of worry. And then we wake up in the morning and we count the waves again and our hearts are full of fear. And the Lord stands by our side today in this church, whatever you're facing, and says to you, "Why are you so afraid? You have little faith." What he's saying is, in the midst of a storm, which will come at times, fear is totally out of place. Notice what he did here to show the disciples that. Jesus didn't argue with the disciples about the size of the waves. The Bible tells us he got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Can you imagine that? Jesus spoke to the wind, and it stopped blowing. Jesus spoke to the waves, and they laid right down. And the storm, which was so threatening, and the danger was so great, and suddenly there was no danger at all. And the disciples were left with a new question. Their question? They asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." In that question lies the truth that Jesus wants us all to learn today. The truth about the storms of life and the fears that rise because of them. Jesus asks, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Here's the basis of his question. This is the Lord himself standing by our side. How can we possibly fear? This is a Lord so great that he controls even the storms of nature. Think about that. You've seen large storms, as I have. Imagine a Lord so powerful that he can say to the wind, "Stop," and it does. And to the waves, "Calm," and they do. What problem in your life is so large that Jesus can't handle that? What problem is so big that even Jesus doesn't have the power for that? This is the Lord who controls all things, and he's the one at your side right now. Now is not the time for fear, especially when you remember that Jesus, this Lord of all power, is the one who chose to give his life for you and me. He sacrificed himself, as we heard in the second reading today, so that you and I could be holy in the sight of God. Loved us when we didn't deserve that love, and gave himself in our place, so that you and I could stand before God and be accepted today through the life of Jesus Christ. That much he loved us. He's not going to let us down now. That's the Lord who stands by your side in every storm. A Lord who controls all things by giving a simple command. And a Lord who loves you with all his heart and will never, ever leave you. "Why are you so afraid?" this Lord asks. "Oh, you of little faith." There may be storms in your life, but however severe they might be, you have no reason to fear. Not now, not ever. Because the Lord is with you and all is well. But remember, this is the lesson Jesus wants to teach us. This is learned behavior. It doesn't just come. Remember, my mother had to teach me. When my wife and I got married, we moved to Rhode Island, where my first call was, starting missions in New England. And the Lord blessed us with three little boys, okay? And they're all in a row, one, two, three, like that. And I wanted to give my sons the same gift my mother gave me, to learn how to love thunderstorms. So there was a moment when they were all really young. I think the oldest one was maybe just five, and the middle one was maybe just four, and the youngest one was a little over two, okay? And I took them out in the driveway when a storm was coming in Rhode Island to watch the storm. And I did what my mother did. The wind was blowing in the trees, and I told the children, "Listen to that wind, isn't that amazing?" And the lightning flashed across the sky, and I told them, "What a beautiful thing to see." And then came the thunder, which was shaking the ground we were standing on. And I remember on that first lesson, the youngest one, the two-year-old, he was hugging my knee, because that's all the taller he was, and he was holding real tight. And he said, "Daddy, this is beautiful. Can we go in now?" The first lesson didn't quite take, but you know, those boys are growing now. They're men all over the world. And wherever they happen to be, when a storm comes in the night, those young men will stand up to this day and get up to watch the storms. There won't be fear in their heart. It'll be something that they enjoy watching, because they learn not to fear the storm. It can be taught. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach us. He wants to teach us how not to fear the storms. And in this case, the word is key. That's what we've been learning all along in this sermon series. The word works. That word is the place you and I will learn to put our worries aside and put our fears aside, no matter what challenge we face. Here's how you do that. Suppose right now you're facing some crisis in your life, a storm of some kind, enough to make your heart worried, enough to make you fearful about tomorrow and if things will get worse, because, you know, we're counting the waves that aren't here yet. Maybe you're feeling that right now, and you go to bed tonight with that worry in your heart. Here's what you do tomorrow morning. You get out of bed, and you sense the fear in your heart, because there's a storm, and you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 8. First thing, before you do anything else, before you put the coffee on, open your Bible, Matthew chapter 8, and what you do is you get in the boat. Open that Bible, Matthew chapter 8. First thing in the morning, get in that boat with the disciples. Count the waves with them. Feel free. Count everyone as it washes over the boat and fills the boat with water. And then listen with both ears as the Lord rises in the back of that boat and speaks to the wind and speaks to the waves and calms that storm. Go through that experience with the Word and watch as Jesus then turns to you and says, what storm in your life is so great that I can't handle it? That's the Lord that promises to be by your side. Now, this is learned behavior. The fears don't go just away. It's not an easy thing to trust the Lord in a moment like that when the waves are so large. So you'll have to practice it day in and day out. Get in that boat every day if you have to. Listen to the Lord's voice every day if you have to. And hold up a mirror, look at yourself in that mirror and say, what do I have to be afraid of? If the Lord can calm the storms, He surely can calm the problem that I'm facing, whatever that may be. The assurance the Lord gives you today in that simple story is that there may be storms in your life, even raging right now, and you may not know how it's going to work out and can't see how anything good will come of it, but that Lord stands by your side right now. And I can tell you in His name, it's going to be all right. The Lord will make it work as a blessing for you. Put your fear down. Trust this Lord. All is well. The Lord in His Word teaches us not to be afraid as He quiets the storms of life. Amen. Please rise. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's respond to the message of God's word by confessing the faith we have in the Lord using the words of the apostle.